What can we take from this performance?
Keep up to date with the latest WSL action and the biggest interviews.
How much she enjoyed that goal, a little bit too much in terms of... I wasn't a big fan of the Ronaldo celebration.
Subscribe to the Koi Gig podcast stream on the OTB Sports app now.
We are turning our attention now, though, to rugby. Alan Quinlan, host of the Red 78 podcast, is with us. Alan, how are you getting on?
Good on yourself.
Yeah, good, thanks. I guess last week when we heard Felipe Contepomi and a few other Leinster voices saying that the video was going to be a hard watch and that there would be plenty of tough analysis, we all should have known what was going to happen on Friday night.
Yeah, I think probably the first 20 or 30 minutes, you think we really thought it was going to be a tight game. Connacht brought that energy and confidence and accuracy and played really well in those first 20, 30 minutes. And I think that was... I always think that's crucial when you're away from home playing against a very strong side, that you can settle into the game and ask questions of the opposition. And Leinster were patient, and then they were ruthless. You know, second half performance was, they just blew Connacht away, and excellent performances throughout their side. They were full value for the win.
Was Harry Byrne better on Friday compared to the substitute appearance previous week?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was. It wasn't a perfect performance, but he was a lot better. But the forward pack were in front of him were so much better, and the quality of ball they delivered to him, and he was very good, I think, as the whole Leinster team were. I think their attack and their pace and their attack was back to what we know they can deliver, and they were continuously getting over the gain line, and as I said, had to weather that storm in the early parts of the game. And to be fair to Connacht, you know, they threw everything at Leinster. And you think when Mac Hansen scores that first try, brilliant kick from Jack Carty, you think that they're going to be well in this game for the whole lot of it. And, you know, Leinster score and then Sammy Arnold scores, and you think this is the real deal. This is going to be a tight game and a real dogfight. But Leinster's quality and their accuracy and pace and tempo was absolutely brilliant.
What's a reasonable expectation for Connacht over this next little while, Alan? Obviously, the conversation is going to turn to Europe and talk of finally getting out of the pool stages, as it were. I guess we can still call it that. Out of the pool stages this season is perhaps a reasonable objective. Do you see it that way, that the knockout stages can be a place where Connacht land this year?
Yeah, I've been looking at the pools. Obviously, Europe is on next for the next couple of weekends, and then you've got the Irish derbies. It's for each of the Irish provinces. You look at these games are really crucial and can be season defining. They're very, very tough games. I think Connacht and Leinster obviously both have home games, and to start at home is always a better place to be. I think you get a chance to, I wouldn't say, it is easier. It's a little bit easier to prepare. It's a little bit easier to get your head around it. You're not on a plane traveling somewhere, and it's harder for the opposition. And Europe has shown that to us over the years, that away wins are difficult. Connacht are very difficult to beat in the sports ground. They have Stade next week at the weekend, and I watched the Stade La Rochelle game last night. Stade beat Rodgers La Rochelle, and they were 20 points to 6 down at one stage in the game. They won 25-20, and I was very impressed at their power, their physicality. You just never know with the French sides and how they'll travel to Galway. They'll be delighted with that win last night. But you think that's a great opportunity for Leinster to get up, or for Connacht to get up and running. And then they've got two incredibly difficult back-to-back games in round 2 and 3 against Leicester. They're away in Leicester the following week. And in Europe, you've got to try and pick something up on the road. They do play Stade in the fourth game away from home. And it just depends where Stade Francais are at that stage. It's going to be very difficult for them to get out of the group, I think. And I think a reasonable expectation, you just never know what Europe on. You put games down on paper and you think, yeah, they're winnable games. Of course they are. I think the Leicester games Leicester are capable of going to the sports ground the way they're going in the Gallagher Premiership this year, and that's going to be a very difficult game for them. But I think they've got to beat Stade at home, beat Leicester at home in the third game, and then hopefully go to France and to Paris and get a win. I think they can win three games there, and if they do, they're out of the group. They're into the round 16 games, and you never know what the draw is going to do for you. I think ultimately, and being respectful to Connacht, I think that would be a brilliant achievement to get into the round 16 games. But they've got to keep tipping away in the league. It's going to be difficult for four Irish provinces to get into Europe next year, and that's where you want to be, and that's where Connacht need to be. I think that's probably something that's, are they going to win the Champions Cup? Look, it's highly unlikely. It's a very difficult competition to win. There's some really top teams in it, but being in Europe next year it's like in the Premiership, getting into the Champions League, and that's a must for Connacht, and they've got to manoeuvre their way through the URC and make sure that they get enough of points and they're in the position to make Europe next year.
Was there something specific they could have done in the second half to interrupt the flow of the game when it was getting away from them? Like, I guess we're looking for signs of progress, and certainly in the first half it looked like there was loads of progress, but when the game gets away from you in a performance like that, what can you do when you're Connacht and you're up against it?
I think it's not
the Ireland side.
Yeah, it's a really good question, Gerard, because they're not a side that kind of slow the game down and kind of hold on to the ball and are kind of boring at times, when sometimes you have to be, and kind of really they kick a lot and squeeze the life out of the opposition. They're a side that keep playing. I think that's part of the way that they have to go about their business. I think a little bit of control and stopping the flow and momentum. But look, we've seen this with Leinster so many times, and teams who play Leinster, if you don't slow down the breakdown, win those collisions, stop them from getting gain lines, it can be very difficult for any side playing against them. So you just look at the work rate of Van der Fleer and Ryan Baird. I thought Ryan Baird was outstanding. I just think he's an incredible athlete. At one stage, a ball was kicked up the field in the second half, and you have a second row chasing down a fullback, Aaron McNulty. And I was just like, how the hell did he get there that quick? It's phenomenal work rate, and I think they're so fit and energetic, and that desire to make tackles. Maybe Connacht could have held on to the ball a little bit more and just kind of taken the sting out of Leinster. But like I say, when Leinster recycle the ball that quick, Ger, it's very difficult to stop them. I think they got a bit shell-shocked with the early tries after half-time. I think that was an issue. And that was something that they were, they got the Larmer try right after half-time was just... And it was easy. It was off a line-out. It looked like Connacht just got very, very compressed. And, Larmer has to step back in the end. Hugo Keenan probably could have scored it himself, and then Larmer steps back in. I just think that try and, Doris's try in a couple of minutes later, it was game over. I think they dropped their heads. And maybe they believed they were... I'm going to be able to do it. So it was probably a mental thing and then a lacking a little bit of control.
Okay. There are obviously things you can work on. Like
For sure. You learn from it, Jack. You learn from that.
Yeah.
And you learn to take... It's not easy to take the sting out of a game when you're playing against a very good side, but somebody's got to come up with a massive turnover or a big hit to stop. Leinster just kept getting over the gain line. And look, as I said, when the ball is on a plate for Luke McGrath like that, they're running onto it and it's hard to get your defensive line set.
Yeah, and just like we've been talking about Connacht and the progress they were making and how it hasn't been straightforward, hasn't been like a very straight line, and that's a bit of a setback for them. So it'll be very interesting to see how they deal with that over the next couple of weeks. From Leinster's perspective, the value of actually getting the game and getting that team out to play as much rugby as they did together was hugely important, because while most of them have been working on patterns together at Ireland, they haven't been doing it with Leinster, and they have got obviously slightly different game plans. So they're in a much better situation than say Munster, for example, who haven't had the opportunity to get all their players back playing together.
Yeah, and you want to try and have continuity going into Europe, and it's a very valid point. They haven't had a lot of time with the internationals this year, and you know they're lucky enough. They're at home to Bath, who've lost 9 games in the Gallagher Premiership. They're going dreadful, so it's a relatively, even though they won't say it, it's a relatively comfortable situation for Leinster going into Europe this week, and I think they're in a good place. They bounced back. They showed a reaction which you want when you lose a game, when you come out with fire in the belly and you bring an aggression and intensity to your game. And I think that's what will please Leo Cullen and Stuart Lancaster, that the reaction was really good. And reintegrating these internationals, it's not always easy. We expected probably the week before, you know, the second string group, you know, they've been really good for Leinster in the league in the last number of years and beaten a lot of strong teams. But having the luxury of getting so many internationals back, and they're in a good place and good shape at the moment.
I ask you, to Divock Origi, we were talking about this a little bit earlier on. Obviously, he scores off the bench, is the happiest man in the world afterwards. Klopp is saying, you know, I hope at some point he finds a manager who plays him more often than I do. Is there a bang of Divock Origi off some of the players at Leinster at the moment who are in a great system, happy to be there? Or do you feel like at some point in the next couple of years we're going to see more players demanding more game time and wanting to leave and trying to further their careers?
Yeah, if I was one of the players, you look at someone like Max Deegan, who got capped a couple of years ago and was probably ahead of Jack Conan, Caelan Doris. He was involved in the Irish team, very close. I think he's got a couple of injuries. You know, does he stay there and does he keep going the same situation for the next 3, 4, 5 years? It just depends on the person. I always said, if you're very close to the side, even if you don't get in it, you continuously believe you're going to get in there. And you're a vital part of the group. I always thought when I played with Munster, it was really difficult for Mick O'Driscoll. He was involved in Irish squads and, you know, Paul and Dunica were ahead of him. Then Dunica Ryan came on, and these guys, the two of them were good enough to be internationals, but the two ahead were just so far ahead, if you like, as regards they were starting for Ireland. And Mikko went to Perpignan at one stage, and then he came back and he became, you know, a real important leader in the group for many years, and played a vital role. So it just depends. They have so many back rows, the out half situation, lots of young players, outside backs as well. Do they stay? It depends if they believe they can get onto the team, and if they get enough URC games and maybe being involved on the bench in Europe, is that enough for them? It just depends on the individual. But it is a situation with this current group that some of them are, if they want to try and further their careers and get onto the Irish team and challenge the guys who are ahead of them in Leinster, maybe they're going to have to look. And this is going to be a continuous situation for Leinster. They don't want to lose players. They want to keep as much depth as possible. But it's down to the individual. And I think over a period of time, I don't know if you could do 5 or 6 seasons like Origi. Maybe if you score vital goals like he's done and you're loved by the fans and all that kind of stuff, but not paying. I think he's 34 minutes played in this season, or last season, and I can't remember the stats, but for these players, some of them, yeah, I think they will look for more minutes, and then you've got to knock on the manager's door and see what he's thinking. And then if he tells you you're close, you have to see some of that. But it's a situation they're always going to have to deal with.
One last thing we just wanted to ask you about. Sorry, go for it, Ger.
No, I was just going to ask: is there anything about Munster? Are you hearing anything from any whispers about how they're getting on?
Hearing different things. I'm hearing that they're just. They're ploughing on with the team and the academy players, the internationals and clubs and club players to try and prepare. They may know something more later in the week with the players in South Africa if they get back Wednesday, Thursday. It just depends. Look, it's just so many moving parts to this chair. If they've got a, do they have to quarantine when they come back into Ireland now after doing their quarantine in South Africa? Of course, they'll have to have negative PCR tests, but maybe those guys will have a better option of going to Wasps at the weekend. The players at home, they're all quarantining at home, and I've said this: if you can, they're not finished until Saturday. Very difficult situation. It depends on the UK government if they'll allow them in on Saturday or even Sunday morning. So we probably don't know for sure what's going to happen. And it's absolutely crazy. The more you think about it, the situation, and I know a lot of people will talk more about it this week and you'll have a clearer picture of who's going to play, but it's really tricky. If they can get any couple of players on the bench, I think that will be their goal, to try and either get some players who are at home or some of the guys who are in South Africa, if they can get some of those on the bench. And then we'll start dissecting how many minutes these guys have played in the last 7 or 8 weeks. But that's the best of a bad lot, really, even if you're in that situation. I think it's going to be intriguing to see what happens.
Just wanted to ask as well then, finally, Alan, about the Thomas Lavanini suspension. Obviously, that pretty sickening hit on Keane Healy a few weeks ago. The 6 week suspension was the initial sanction, and then they mitigated the sanction by 2 weeks for good behaviour, apology, and remorse, despite a couple of things flying in the face of that, stating that he didn't believe it was a red card offence, for example. What have you made of this and how it's been handled in general?
Shocking, to be honest. I think that hit on Keane Healy was, I don't know what other people think. I thought it was terrible. It was absolutely terrible. I know players kind of can get caught and show, you know, people flying into rocks and stuff like that, and hit players and get red cards. I just thought that was a really, really cynical, nasty challenge on Keane Healy. He was on his knees. Could have resulted in a very, very serious injury for Keane Healy. And I've nothing against Thomas Lavanini per se. I don't know the guy. I've watched him play, and I think his aggression is a real issue. Backed up with that aggression, he's absolutely huge, and he's a very, very strong fella. I just thought the challenge was terrible, and for a player to get 5 weeks for that, I think is wrong. And it's kind of been swept under the carpet a bit. It hasn't been picked up that much. People are not discussing it. There's so many podcasts out there and rugby analysis. And I'm surprised that this hasn't been spoken about more. I think this challenge was absolutely sickening. He's got 3 red cards at international level. For them to give him 6 weeks, a midpoint entry of that, and take a week off, and he potentially gets another week off if he partakes in a world rugby course, he'll get it down to 4 weeks. I just think for those actions, it should have been minimum 12 weeks, and the player needs to learn himself. I just think it was a really, really bad sanction. It was a really poor sanction, I think, for an incident like that that could have resulted in a serious, serious injury for Keane Healy. And I just think it's wrong. And I was very, very surprised that you know, he ends up missing 5 weeks and potentially now 4 weeks. They challenged it. They said it wasn't a red card. This absolute bullshit that you hear, their good behaviour and the way they presented themselves at the hearing. What's that got to do with anything? You get mitigation for that. It's baffling, to be honest. And I just think those kind of charges into rucks, and I know people would say pot kettle with me, but I just think that's an incident that can seriously injure somebody. And I think because of what's happened before in his record, it should have been a lot more. That's my opinion on it.
Was it a sense that the previous red cards just hadn't been brought into the question here at all?
I don't know. I think, I just think if it was a once off, you say, right, just heat of the moment. But if you watch the incident again, Keane Healy's on his knees. He could have, you know, I said this obviously a couple of times, that could have been a very, very serious situation. And I'm baffled by it. The player needs to just get a grip, get a hold, because he's renowned for these shoulder charges into rucks, and you can seriously injure somebody, and it's nasty and it's dangerous. It's very, very dangerous. And I just think that I was just very, very surprised that the player gets 5 weeks for that. It should have been a lot more.
For sure. Alan, great stuff this morning. Thanks many for being with us.
Cheers, lads. Thanks.
Alan Quinlan there, host of the Red 78 podcast, which you can get on the OTB Sports app now.